today on Real Radio.
You keep your heart boarded up. You get burned so much, you stay away from the kitchen. That's how we think. But you can't be that way about the church, because there is no way that you can literally grow the way God has ordained you to grow unless you get involved in the church with one another. And I know it's hard for us to get along with one another. That's why we're family.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series he calls the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In developing our biblical worldview and the church, what comes to mind? Can true Christians who obey Scripture have an effect on today's culture? From its inception and throughout history, the church has been an unrelenting force in society, and Pastor Jack urges Christians to keep gathering together, for where there is fellowship, Jesus Christ is in their midst. Today, Pastor Jack continues by reminding us that the church is still alive and moving. It is still the guardian of God's revealed word right here on earth, and still in a constant state of growth. It is not, however, based on our wants and desires, but based on what Christ did on the cross. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Number one thing I want you to get in your heart and mind tonight, but it's going to go against some of the emotions of some of you tonight, is Jesus loves his church. Why do I say that? Because today, people in our age are just absolutely anti-church, but because we covered this in our previous studies, they're spiritually minded people. They have a spirit mindedness. They don't like the church. They hate the church. They talk down the church, that is the church of God. But they claim to be Christians because they recognize Christianity's got the best message out there. And that is a big problem. You can't function like that. There is an issue. And we'll see tonight that it may very well reside in your own heart. Because God loves his church and he's got a plan for the church. You say, yeah, but I don't go to church anymore because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. God wants you there among all those hypocrites. I'm not joking. Do you understand something? It's a lot easier tonight if we would have just stayed home and bowed down before American Idol, or is that over? Is it still going on? Look at some of you are so sweet. You go, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean. I'm TiVoing it or I'm DVRing it. No, but you know what I mean? You didn't have to come here tonight. This is important. This is important because God loves his church, and the church is getting a black eye and she's not being defended much. And I just want to talk about this. Now listen, simply put, the church is the body of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the body, the Bible says. Jesus, according to the scripture, leads the church, guides the church. Listen, everyone. According to the Bible, Jesus leads the church. Listen. Because you're going to come back to me and say, the church I came from, that was horrible and ridiculous. I'm not talking about your experience. Your experience may be 100% accurate and true to what you say. I'm not talking about that. Understand me tonight that when I say just because something is called the church, it doesn't necessarily mean it's my church, Jesus would say. They may have gotten 501c3 license from the state of California from the federal government. That doesn't make it a church. Well, you know, they painted a cross on the front of the door. That doesn't make it a church. We're going to be looking at what makes things or gatherings or convocations a church. But he leads it, he guides it. Now you need to ask yourself, are you going to a church that Jesus is obviously leading? Is Jesus guiding? Is he providing? Is he instructing? Is Jesus teaching? That would be from the Word. Does Jesus teach you? Does the Spirit of God teach you from the Word? For this cause, for this reason, to develop you onward in maturity within the church, either locally or universally. Are you growing? Don't answer. Are you growing in your faith and your experience with the Lord Jesus Christ? This is absolutely vital. Listen to this quote. The church is a living entity and is subject to all the dynamics of an entity. The church is alive and moving in a constant state of development and growth. These energies all come together to make for a powerful, effective, fluid, and exciting experience. That's what a church should be like. That's God's will for any church. Just because someone's had a bad experience or multiple bad experiences, I talked to somebody recently, they were involved in a church and the pastor was involved in sexual immorality and they left that church and that church folded and crashed and they got involved in another church and then it was the pastor's wife that got involved in sexual immorality and that church crashed and they left and they went to a third church and the pastor of that church was involved in sexual immorality and that church crashed and burned. And they said recently, we are not going to another church as long as we live. I understand their emotion, but they have yet to realize that what they're doing is actually offending Christ. You don't expect them to go to a church and mess it all up? No, of course not. But the church is to be held sacred in our age. It's not. Now, a lot of the reason is because the church has given itself its own black eye with stupid decisions and terrible actions. And I understand that. Just because you've experienced a bad situation in a church doesn't mean that Jesus has said, you know what, I guess the gates of hell did prevail. Right? He's not saying that. We have to be very wise and very careful, and let's understand this. We need to be very mature. Because the tendency is like if you're dating, if you date somebody, and your heart gets broken, then you date somebody, and your heart gets broken. Every time you date somebody and get brokenhearted, the next time you date somebody, you don't give your heart away. You keep your heart boarded up. You get burned so much, you stay away from the kitchen. That's how we think. But you can't be that way about the church because there is no way that you can literally grow the way God has ordained you to grow unless you get involved in the church with one another. And I know it's hard for us to get along with one another. That's why we're family. How many of you have brothers and sisters? Raise your hand. Oh, my goodness. You ever get in a fist fight with them? You ever try to hold your brother underwater and all that stuff, huh? We're in a family. We'll talk more on this in a moment. But you and I are living in a postmodern, post-Christian America. And it seems like right now everybody gets to take a crack at defining the church these days. Have you noticed that? Just this week in the news, people on CNN and Fox News and all this stuff, they're trying to tell us how the church should be, what the church should look like. Everybody gets to have a crack at defining and describing what a church should be like based upon, listen, always this. Based upon their perspective, their desire, and what they want to see in a church. It's God's church. It's Jesus' church. And he's made it very clear what he wants to see in a church. Look what I'm holding. I'm holding the Bible up, which is very, very key to where we're going in this study. Are you guys hot? Isn't it hot in here? Dying up here. See me sweating? Oh, man, maybe that's a hint for the engineer guys to do their thing. Whew! I sound like Goldilocks, man. Man, it's too hot. It's too cold. In all things, be thankful, for this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. According to God, the church is to be the guardian of this word, the Bible, on this earth. Did you know that? The church is to be the defender of the faith. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, these things I have written unto you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. The house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Friends, you're not going to hear that much among many today. God says this is the house of God, the church, and it is the place where truth in the earth resides. That's a big statement. That'll get you going. So listen, to determine if you're in a true Bible church or not, you must first judge the church's teachings, mark it down, watch this, its influences, its witness, its impact, its love, its worship, and its obedience to Christ according to the scriptures. For those of you who are on that journey, it's very difficult. You're praying and you're going through the community and you're looking for a church. That's hard work. That is hard work if you take it seriously. And I've told you guys before, but maybe it's time to say it again, especially if you're visiting. You wouldn't know if I said it before. Personally, the Lord showed Lisa and I years ago, and I think it's a good practice. I think God's in it. The Lord showed us when we first moved out here, there were no churches around, man. But what churches we visited, the Lord said, go to that church, don't go to any other church for 4 weeks, consecutive Sundays, back to back, before you move on to the next church and pray all along the way. So if you're visiting here tonight, then stay for like 4 weeks and then go off to other churches and stay 4 weeks there to find out. Give God the opportunity to speak to you about where you should be in a church. Let him speak to you. Give him opportunity. But it's vitally important. What's the influence of that church? Can its love be seen? Is it making an impact? A lot of churches today are talking about their size and their prowess and their coolness and their hipness. But you know what? They're culturally dead. And it's huge. This is huge. Some of the biggest churches in America right now, I can name them. And you go around their culture and there's porno shops down the street from the church. Abortion is rampant in their community. And the church is huge with all the fancy stuff. And the people, when they walk out of that church, they whisper and they're quiet. And there's no effect. There's no Christianity outside the walls. There's no difference. That's not a church. But they preach the gospel. That's great. That's one step. Preach the gospel. The next word is do it. We've got to do the gospel. It's vitally important. Now, I'm going to ask you to hang on to your seats. You guys are going to have you queue up a video and show it all the way through first, and then we'll back up and kind of dissect it. So keep your eyes on this for a moment. This is big.
My name is David Kinneman, and I'm an author and a researcher. The statistics are showing that young people are leaving the church in staggering numbers. And I just felt compelled to figure out why.
Hello, I live in New York City, and this is how the church lost me.
Growing up in church, I think I just got too close and understood how it works the way somebody understands how a business works.
It's just not real or relevant to me anymore.
I don't think God was who I'd made him.
You have a new generation that's asking questions, and they feel as though those questions aren't being responded with honest answers.
I consider myself to have a really great relationship with God. I don't have it in the way that my mom sees.
The result is pretty obvious. Young people are leaving the church, and in some cases, they're even losing their faith.
I don't know if Jesus was the Son of God. That pretty much means I'm not a Christian, right?
I am still a Christian. I just don't go to church anymore.
Honestly, I think it's time that we start a real conversation.
We just need to start talking.
Let's start talking.
It needs to be okay to say, you lost me, and not have everyone freak out.
You lost me doesn't necessarily mean forever.
Young people need to express their frustrations, their doubts, their questions. And older Christians need a place to learn and to be heard.
It's about being able to bring up a question about evolution or sexuality without just having a Bible thrown at you.
Look, let's just get it out on the table.
You lost me. You lost me.
Lost me.
And let's get this conversation started.
This clip is all over the web. You have to watch it a few times to grab this. Some of you who are over, you know, you're 30 or over, you're going, oh, who cares? I care because this is the future church. And every one of those people, look, I don't know who they are, and they put themselves up on the web, so as soon as you do that, it's open game. But I want to honor them. Only biblically do I want to honor them. I've not spoken to any of them, I'm sure I won't get a chance to speak to any of them. I have some questions, though. And then we're going to walk through this regarding church. The whole premise of this thing is that you've either done something or you didn't do something. You lost me. You lost me. I felt that. I saw it wasn't relevant for me. Listen, the danger of the culture of today is it's all about me. What are you going to give me for just being alive? I should get something. What is it for me? What will the church do for me? Now, I believe I know the answer to this, but I'll save it for the end. Let's look at the first comment, the first part. We'll kind of, if you guys can step through them for a second.
Growing up in church, I think I just got too close and understood how it works the way somebody understands how a business works.
Okay, she found out how it works. It works like a business. Okay, this is her assessment. She's saying that it works like a business, and that's why the church lost her. It works like, so what was her experience? Her experience, whatever it was, she's concluded, I'm leaving the church because I think what we can safely say is she saw the inner workings. Well, let me ask you something. Are the inner workings of every church, apparently from what she experienced, is it corrupt as she experienced? Are all churches corrupt? But she has left. The church lost her because she got too close, she said. What does that mean? There's a lot of emotion in that assessment of hers. We don't know her story. That's all that's on the web. But listen, the church lost her. She had an experience. We don't know what it is, but the church lost her. As though, and it's possible, that it was the church's fault. I want you to think about this for a moment. This is hard stuff. You need to think. Because many in the young generation think today, oh, the church lost me. But there's an answer for this. When she saw whatever she saw, why didn't she, and she may have, I'm not slamming her, but I would like to ask her, did you confront those who offended you regarding what you saw? And what is it that you saw? How were you hurt? You saw the inner workings. That's a profound statement. What is it that you saw? I saw the church. The church bought a hotel. And did that bother you? Oh, yes, it was terrible. And I left. So what'd they buy it for? I don't know. That was just terrible, though, for them to buy a hotel. And the story may be they bought a hotel and converted it into a place where unwed women wind up living, because churches have done that throughout America. See, there's always something to the story. Next slide, or next clip.
It's just not real or relevant to me anymore.
It's not really relevant to me. Again, this is on the web worldwide. Why? Why is it not relevant to you? What happened? What did you do to present yourself available? Listen, young people tonight, what are you doing to present yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ to be used by the Lord? See, listen, you young people tonight, I want you to be so galvanized. I want you to be radical. I want you to be absolutely a revolutionary. I would like you to be the one who says, you know what? I'm not going to stand around and wait for the sun to rise and set. I am going to get up and I am going to ask God to fill me with his Holy Spirit and I'm going to go make a difference. I'm going to take the Bible and I'm going to go do it. Because I'm really tempted to ask these people, How was your devotional life going when you decided to leave? How was your prayer life? If this is up on the web worldwide, shouldn't the church have its ability to question them and ask them, what happened to you? Were you up praying? What? Praying? No. Were you reading the Bible on a very regular basis? No. Were you witnessing? Were you sharing your faith? Oh, no. You hear what I'm saying? See, Jack, you're being very mean. This is normal. This is absolutely normal. But people don't want to hear this today. Next clip.
I don't think God was who I'd made him.
I don't think God was who I made him. And I don't know if the next, if we have that whole clip, but he's going to say, I did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I guess that makes me not a Christian. Jesus Christ said, if you do not believe that I am, ego eimi, that's the name of God. If you do not believe that I am God, he said, you'll die in your sins. So to not die in your sins, you are to believe that he is God. Now watch. This is what the Bible says. The church should scoop this guy up and say, listen, buddy, let's find out why you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. Bring forth, Isaiah 1:18, bring forth your argument. Come, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Let's talk about it. They want to talk about it? Then let's talk about it. Young people today, you're making decisions. Well, you know, I don't think the Bible is all of the Word of God. This is huge now among young churches all across America. The Bible's not the entire Word of God. Only parts of it is. A lot of young people are going to churches like that. That's heresy. That's demonic doctrine. Well, I don't worship the God of my parents. You know, their God is, you know. Okay, why? You must follow your thinking through. Listen. Our modern culture is very, very weak, if not remedial, in history. Study history and ask yourself some hard questions. How is it that young, middle-aged, old believers throughout history believed and knew God so well that they couldn't deny him in life and it even cost them their lives? Why? Find out why. That should be an investigative reporter's task. Look, am I being mean by saying... Listen, everyone. Yeah, but watch. He actually knows it. He's saying it. He knows. That's part of the reason why he's bringing it up. He doesn't like that part. I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. I guess I'm not a Christian, right? According to Christianity, which the Bible, according to biblical doctrine, yeah, young man, you're right. You're not a Christian. Someone of the young generation, I'm really picking on you guys tonight, but I gave you fair warning. The young generation of believers today says, man, dude, you're judging the guy. No, I'm not at all. The Bible's judging them. And the Bible will judge every one of us. The Bible judges me constantly.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and the Church, Part 1. Thanks for listening to the message today. We hope that you'll keep yourself in the love of God through the continuing revival of your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, do you get the Real Life Devotions in your inbox? Pastor Jack puts out a Real Life Devotions pretty much every Monday morning. And a lot of folks write into us and tell us that these devotions really make a big difference in their life. As a matter of fact, Scott writes in and says, thank you, Pastor Jack, for sacrificing yourself as a vessel for God's light. It shines brightly through you. I got to tell you, I got a little personal note here. I really like the way Scott puts that. The light of Jesus shines brightly through you. Scott continues, he says, as the Lord works, quite often your weekly devotion seems to be created specifically for me. I'm sure there are thousands who feel the same way. I pray you never tire or dismiss your work as anything less than the magnificent light of God pouring through you. In appreciation for all you and your team do to bring us closer to Jesus, Scott. Listen, Scott, that was artwork with words. We really appreciate you sending that in. Appreciate it very much. If you're interested in letting us know what you think about Real Life Devotions or actually anything that has to do with our radio ministry, our TV ministry, our video ministry, books, why don't you get in touch with us and let us know? Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Point and click. You'll figure out how to get a hold of us. It's real easy. Our phone number here at Real Radio, should you ever need it, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.